This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 255. It's a wrap. Good morning, good evening, good evening, good afternoon. This is Michael Rowe on a wonderful Friday with my friend and co-host Michael Martin.
Hey. Last show of 2019, last show of the decade.
Yeah,
it last is. Last show of the decade. Can't believe that. Boy, that's a lot of pressure to make this an awesome show, isn't it, Michael?
Nah.
So what do we do, like all other podcasters, at the end of the decade?
We review the last year.
Yeah.
We could have almost gone back to the beginning of the decade with this podcast because we started January 2012.
You know, it's funny. As we were just talking about that, I was like, you know, I need to go back and look at this.
Wouldn't you like to be a mayor or something like that was our first
episode. Would you like to play a game?
Was it that? No.
No, wouldn't you like to be a mayor too? That was it.
That's it. The first one. Because wouldn't you like to play a game was like episode two.
That was 00002.
Yeah, which I don't know why we called that episode 00002.
We probably were trying to be funny.
Yeah, and we had been podcasting for like 7 years before that with Dog Ear Nation.
Exactly.
So,
holy schmoly. And we were talking about Waze and Foursquare.
Yeah. And you know what we don't talk about anymore?
We don't talk about Oink, that's for sure. I don't even know what that is.
What?
Oink.
What is Oink? What was Oink?
No idea. But at the time that we had Andy Piper with us, so yep. Big shout out to the man with the pipes. And yes. Those were good times. Good times.
Good times.
And Moon Patrol. Oh, yeah. I remember the Moon Patrol theme.
Yeah, that was like rocking.
That was pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. So we've got, you know, if we don't stretch all the way back to the beginnings of this in 2012, but instead we just stretch back to really the last year, we still had a ton of fun. And we talked as we kind of looked at this about bots, about artificial intelligence, about
AR,
augmented reality, AR. And it was funny that this was also the year of Star Wars in a lot of ways too. So lots of Jedi related stuff, but boy, yeah. Lots around bots, lots of bots.
Yeah, it was interesting. We kind of just went off on that. And when we talk about bots, we're really talking about robots, not necessarily programmable bots. That's in the AI section, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. But they surface in the AI section too. But you're exactly right. We did talk about robots quite a lot this year. And, you know, I'm trying to think about why. I guess part of it is it just caught our attention. Part of it is that there's so much happening in this space right now in both the industrial side of things and in the consumer side of things, that there are stories, you know, every week about another kind of robot and another kind of thing doing stuff, you know, like, yeah. Even locally. I mean, we started, for example, with this company called Lucid, a North Carolina company that is a bot, a drone. You know, we talk about drones a lot too, that would take a hose up and hose down the side of your building, as a way of keeping your building clean and avoiding potential OSHA issues, you know, of people having to be raised up in cranes and whatnot. And I remember that sprung a neat conversation around, could we do something similar with micro targeting of lawn watering robots? That was back when I was really concerned about making sure that my grass was going to be appropriately hydrated.
Well, that, you know, that was, what, how long had you been in the new house then?
Yeah, it's been, you know, wasn't a year then, so I was still making sure.
Right, so you were still establishing the yard.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. And then, you know, speaking of houses, we were talking about cleaning robots, too. So there was a fun story about Doomba, which used the Roomba maps to create a playable Doom level, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much one level, right?
Yeah.
With walls and things that got in the way.
Now, I seem to remember something recently. I don't know where it is. I have no link for this, but there's a newer innovation coming out about helping robotic vacuums like the Roomba and such be able to climb stairs. Because that's, you know, one of the...
We talked about that last week.
Did we?
Did we just have a link to it?
We may have had a link.
No, I remember looking at that this week, I think it was, and they took and put quadricopters on it.
Oh, is that what it was?
And allowed it to fly up the stairs.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm pretty sure we didn't talk about that.
Okay, because I've seen, I remember looking at the video, so it must have been this week somewhere in one of my feeds.
Yeah. So fun stuff. And you know, we're talking inside, we're talking outside. We had some stories about lawnmowers. So there's a lot of, you know, get rid of the drudgery and the task of mowing one's lawn. Again, I still want one that would water lawns because I think there'd be an enormous way to go get, you know, monetizing that sort of thing. But different ones to make your lawn neat and clean.
Well, it needs to be able to water, fertilize, mow, and aerate. Get rid of the leaves. And yes. Aerate, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could mulch probably that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to have to, like, have a bag that you got to empty out all the time. That was always one of the things I hated about having to empty the lawnmower bag when I was mowing.
Yeah, well, speaking of mowing, this was the year that Roomba finally released their lawnmower, right? Because this had been rumored for a very, very long time.
Rumored?
And I know neither of us got one.
No.
But it will map your yard, too.
Yeah, it will. And
I wonder if you could Doom on your yard. Doom. Then.
Yeah, exactly.
And the squirrels could be the bad guys.
You hide under your porch or something like that. we had at least one, and I think may have been more than one, examples too of robotic assists. You know, things that will help you, you know, go further, be stronger, and be rebuilt, or maybe not rebuilt, but have an exoskeleton to, you know, that you could zoom around with.
We found for this show the link to the soft exosuit that kind of allowed you to walk better or walk faster. I remember talking about one in a warehouse setting to deal with, you know,
lifting and bending.
Lifting and keep the arms up for very long periods of time is a stressor and causes problems with the shoulders and things of that nature. And I don't know if it was the hip suit that had a on-stage demonstration video where they had somebody who had a walking impairment using it. Do you remember that one?
I remember seeing something like that. And it was funny. Okay, so guilty pleasure time. Sorry for this. But, you know, over the holidays, you tend to watch, you know, a little bit of TV that you might not otherwise do. So we were watching some of the back catalog of Glee. And for those of you who are Glee fans, you'll know that Artie was one of the characters in a wheelchair. And for one Christmas, there's a tie-in there for you, he was promised by Santa that he would be able to walk again. Or actually, another character was. And the way he wound up walking again was through a hip suit kind of thing like this, that he was able to
walk
out of.
And that reminds me of Mugfest 2 years ago, where the one researcher from Duke University who had worked on a global team of people to put an exoskeleton on a guy to kick the first ball at the World Cup in 2014's World Cup in Brazil, the Brazil World Cup. And he talked about, you know, the brain interface that they were using between the exoskeleton, et cetera.
Very,
very cool stuff. And what it just shows you is the continuing advancement that's going on in robotics, right? The fact that we've gone from drones that just do simple flight to useful flight, in this case, cleaning the stuff off the side of your house, from basic exoskeletons to ones that have specific purpose, whether it's in a warehouse or to people walking. And I kind of look forward and say, in 10 years from now, not 1 year, but in 10 years from now, you know, we're getting older. I might have hip problems. It'd be interesting to see if there's an exoskeleton clothing line that is capable enough to allow, give freedom of movement without the bulk of a lot of the exoskeletons that we see now that look like the movie Aliens. Right?
Could be, or they could be more symbiote kind of thing, where the nanoparticles in a pair of jeans might be strong enough and have enough ability.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Energy.
They're clothing.
Yeah.
They're just clothing.
Yeah, it is clothing. Yeah.
it's like the ultimate compression sock.
Yeah, kind of like that. There you go. And let your clothing do the walking for you.
Yeah. The compression socks that walk for you.
Oh, I love it. So what about the AI side, Michael? We also brought forward lots of AI this year, and I can see that going forward next year too. What do you remember some of the fun things we talked about?
Well, there were two that I think that kind of sum up the year, right? Because AI has been moving very fast. And for those who listened to the show all year, you'll remember that this summer I was actually working on an AI hackathon. And the biggest learning that I got out of AI was – it's pretty stupid. It's people have presumed that AI is general AI, and it's not. Mm-hmm. All AI that we have today is effectively task specific. Now they're adding more and more tasks that are giving the illusion of general AI, but as soon as you get outside of their domain, they get really stupid. And the best thing that we found this year that showed that off, well, maybe not the best, but it was funny as anyway, was a Saturday Night Live skit that pokes fun at AI NPCs in a computer game.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And this was Kit Harington from Game of Thrones fan, and we won't spoil season 8 for people who haven't watched it yet.
No spoilers.
Even though we're pretty much at the limit. I mean, we are at the point where we could spoil it if we want to.
Well, you could. I coun't because I never watched it.
Did you watch any of the seasons?
I think I saw a little bit of one on a plane, and that was it.
I have all 8 seasons. I like it. Anyway, so looking at how the AI in this game, right, wants to give you all the backstory stuff that you don't care about. You just want to go have fun, right? But because of the way it's programmed, it's dumb. It's really dumb. It has its own space of things that it wants to deal with, and it doesn't go outside of those. Let's leave it at that. And ask people to come to the website, click on the link, and watch this hilarious video.
Yeah, it's worth that.
The other big thing in AI this year was how people have gotten scared of it. And the example here is from the MIT Technology Review. There was an app a couple of years ago that did face changes. And then this year they came out with a version that would say, what do you look like when you're old? And the basic idea there was you give it access to your photo library, and then it uses AI to transform your picture. And people freaked out when they finally realized, and basically they freak out every time this app gets re-released, that you're giving it access to your photo library, and it can scan it and learn from it. Well, that's like how
from AI all the metadata learned. And from all of the visual data.
Well, actually, absolutely. But the cool thing was this article of the app that uses a GAN model, which is a generative adversarial network to transform your picture into what it would look like if it were painted by one of the masters back in the 1600s,
yeah.
And I thought this was cool. I thought this was really cool.
It was, and it still is really cool in my book too. But I think the point that really resonated with me from this year was how important the data set is. You know, when you're talking about AI, it's all about the data. And if the data is a good data set and if it's representative, you can have the machine learning do what it is billed to go do. And if the data set is provided by individuals who are not really thinking through what they are providing to the data set, that really requires them to do a little more contemplation about.
And a great example of this, if you remember, there was a story about facial recognition where they ran the facial recognition against the members of Congress and the number of them that came back as convicted criminals. Right? Because the data set was not appropriate. Yeah. And so they're like, okay, you want to unleash facial recognition for security and policing. Well, mm-hmm. You might want to correct your data because right now half of you in Congress are going to jail.
Yeah. Well, and there's some other really intriguing things too about the impartiality of judges and how you can use AI assist to help determine what the recidivism rates might be and so on and so forth. I mean, there's so much going into this right now, and I feel like the importance of looking at how AI modeling and learning happens through an ethical eye and doing so in a way that is thoughtful at every turn of the right?
And every turn.
What's the data set that I'm using? What is the decisions that I'm using? Am I still having a human decision in the mix as opposed to just automating the process for speed and efficiency? To me, this is a storyline that's going to continue well into 2020 and throughout the decade to come, starting in a few days. So
yeah.
Exciting times, to be sure. And one would hope that the combination of technology, of ethics, of humanity will be there to create the outcomes that we're all after, right? Let's get rid of the tedium of mowing the lawn. Let's make sure that we're optimizing the things that we need to optimize. And let's make sure that we're applying humanity to human-based decisions as we go forward. So cool.
Yeah.
Had a lot about AR. Which kind of was the foundation of the show, AR, VR, games, gaming technology. And shoot, when you think about bots and AI that are exactly in the wheelhouse of what we started doing for this podcast all those years ago in 2012, we had a number of fun AR examples. One of the ones, Michael, that I remember talking about, and we've talked about a lot of these, but we haven't actually gone out and bought them. One of them was what Bose was doing around augmented reality from an audio perspective.
Or
Audio reality. Augmented audio reality. There are some other names that we had for this too.
Yeah.
And just because of the difficulty, we've talked about this at length, so we're not going to do it again here, but just the difficulty of applying augmented reality through your field of vision, the notion of using audio is certainly a big plus, and one that many people use on a day-to-day basis. Shoot, I did yesterday when driving to an unfamiliar destination and allowing my phone to tell me, hey, you're going to need to turn soon. Hey, get into the middle lane. Hey, you're going to make a left after an immediate right. That's augmented reality right there. It just comes through in an audio fashion, right?
Yep. So I've not seen anybody with the Bose ones, right?
Yeah.
Not a single person.
But you wouldn't necessarily know it, would you? Because they do look like, Wayfarers pretty much.
Yeah, but they have a kind of a thick part
on
the arms. The arms look a little bit thicker than expected. The other one that I've not seen anybody wearing was the rumored Apple AR glasses.
Ooh, Well, that's right? True, because they apparently don't exist.
They don't exist yet. Because, you know, the number of people in 2019 who continue to look at Apple's patent library and say, well, there's an immediate product here, is hilarious,
sure.
Right?
Sure there is.
But, you know, they're supposed to come out mid-next year, so we're almost there, right?
Well, I think we've heard that phrase before, haven't we?
Yes. But the ones that were really cool, and I got to play with the first-gen ones, and our good friend and been on the show a couple of times, also listens to the show, Ian Hughes, is the Microsoft HoloLens.
Yes.
Those are really cool. And the upgrade that they came out this year, I think, really hones in on the value of AR glasses in the enterprise. And the examples that they put out before their launch have been phenomenal this year. And I can't wait to see as this deploys more and more in the enterprise.
Yeah, I agree, Michael. I think Microsoft has got a laser bead on the way that AR will be used for the enterprise. And they've got a model that works with people that have glasses for corrective vision that will work in conjunction. And this is the space to watch. I mean, certainly with Magic Leap, a bunch of other ones that are kind of in the wings here too. Exciting times, but we'll need to keep a close eye on Microsoft, because I feel like that is the best approach, and what they've learned from Xbox and what they've learned from their gaming experience. You know, there's that tie-in again, isn't it, listeners? This is where you get all the benefit.
Yeah.
Now you did actually buy a pair of AR devices for this year in 2019,
they were,
didn't you?
Christmas gift. And I haven't had a chance to try them out yet, but I have a pair of the Form swim goggles, which do an AR overlay while you're swimming to give you information about your swimming that you're doing, right? Distance, time, splits,
laps,
et cetera, laps, all the things that you need to know while you're swimming, while your brain completely tunes out on the world and you go, what lap am I on? How far have I gone?
So it'll tell you how many laps you're on?
It gives you distance.
Okay. I was just wondering if it would count laps for you.
Lamps aren't important. It's all about distance.
Okay. Love it. Love it. So if we were to predict where we think AR is going to be in the coming year, you know, such fit for perfect examples like the Form goggles. To me, this is fabulous. Anyone who's a swimming enthusiast, this will make their experience so much better. What would you think would be like the next big thing to come out of AR?
I don't think there's going to be anything that's the next big thing. I think they're just going to continue to add additional use cases and value in AR, primarily in the enterprise, some in fitness, like the AR goggles. And, you know, one of the things that you and I both looked at this year, and neither of us have had a chance to really get into it yet, is Minecraft Earth, mm-hmm. right? Which is the gaming example of AR. And I think the real value there is not in the gaming example, but in, back to our comment in the first section of the show, the data that's going to be able to be collected to improve AR usage in general. And so I think we're going to get incrementally better over the next year, a few more accepted use cases, but mass adoption by individuals and consumers, not there.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't think there's going to be a massive consumer adoption. My personal prediction would be that you'll see more from an AR perspective arrive in use cases around things like driving and head-up displays, which will then carry over in a digitized kind of approach into the way that AI can learn from it. So the combination, in my mind, of AR plus AI and the feedback loop that'll happen between them will actually strengthen both of them and create use cases that we haven't seen yet and hadn't really thought about. But once they arrive, they'll be like, well, of course you will do that. That makes perfect sense. But that's where, if I were to say, what do I think might happen in the next 12 months or so, that's where I'd want to make a bet.
Yep.
Okay, so rounding out this year, as we said at the top of the show, this felt like a Star Wars year in many, many respects. I mean, the movie that had just come out here a few days ago certainly had a ton of hype leading up to it. The advent of Disney Plus and these streaming video services with now Star Wars franchises like The Mandalorian are in there too. And just looking through the course of the year, I guess the things that struck me, Michael, were number one, Star Wars has been around for our whole lives. This is one of these cultural touchstones that just resonates over the ages. And so much of what is in canon or not in canon, our linguistics, the way we think about things, the fact that Jedi is a religion in some parts of the world, it's interesting and funny to see how stories have transcended a story and become part of the fabric of day-to-day life. So just a couple, you know, things that popped out from the lists, you know, of what we tagged during the year. One, I thought about this a little bit earlier this year too, actually early in December, was a notion of lightsaber dueling. You know, that this is a competitive sport. And shoot, wouldn't it be funny to see that in the Olympics as yet another variation of fencing? It's like, oh, there we go. Okay, you know, so and so from Sri Lanka with their, you know, dual yellow bladed device has now managed to make it to the semifinal rounds. Could happen.
Yep.
Could happen, right?
It could.
May not, but you know, it is one of those things. And again, no spoilers, so we're not talking about the movie here. But just fun stuff. And another one that we found as we're kind of peeking through the year was a design article talking about classic album covers, which are, I guess, you know, now more classic than elsewise, otherwise, because you're not getting your music in an album format. You're getting them on a picture that you download to your device. Oh, you still have albums. Did you get a CD?
Yes, I do.
Oh, well, there
you go. I got a few
good
CDs.
Awesome. That these mashups have examples of Star Wars characters on the album art as opposed to just the way the album used to be.
So I think these are hilarious. They still hold up. I like Bjork cover.
Yeah. And this is from apparently from 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good Joshua stuff. Tree. I love that too. Oh, it's just good stuff.
Yeah. Lando.
Love it.
The thing is, I'm just going through this. I think I have most of these.
Do you? Wouldn't Pretty surprise close. Me. Given your collection, would not surprise me in the least. So if you were to produce some predictions around what happens with Star Wars in the coming years, you know, now we've got the movies, you know, bracketed front and back. You know, we've got spin-off shows. There's some rumors, I think, of there being an Obi-Wan show. There have been cartoon shows. I was kind of wondering what might be here next, and I think it is that Disney is going to make the most of the franchise and create lots more stories that'll fit in between various things.
Yeah, I think Disney's going to go nuts. We've gotten into an era where everything's a sequel or a prequel or a remake. And as much as I love the Star Wars universe,
yeah,
I'm ready for a new universe.
Ooh.
I haven't seen the new movie yet, and I predict I will see it sometime during 2020. And I hope that it kind of wraps the canon for me. And then we can move on to another universe. That's why I liked Game of Thrones, right? It was a new universe to explore. And if you remember way back at the beginning of this podcast, one of the big discussions was the different types of gamers. People mm-hmm. who like to create things, people who like to run quests, and people who like to explore. And I like to explore. I like to learn the new. And rehashing the same thing slightly different is not new to me.
Right.
Giving us the backstory of every single minor character in the Star Wars universe would just drive me nuts. And
yeah.
take away some of the wonder and the joy of when I discovered the universe over the course of, gosh, has it been 40 years? 1977. So yeah. 42 years. 42 years!
Oh,
that's a long time.
It's the answer.
Oh, my goodness. It's the answer. So I think 42 years is enough. And I'm wondering what will replace it. I have been enjoying The Expanse,
mm-hmm.
which is another universe to explore. And I think from a Star Wars perspective, I hope they wrap it up and let it sit for a while. Let it marinate. Let it ferment into a delicious aged bottle of fun.
That would be a good thing. You know, my reaction to that, and I understand exactly where you're coming from, is that the new oftentimes becomes so detailed that in order to understand and explore that next universe requires an investment of gargantuan amounts of time. You know, so for example, and I know some might close their ears when they hear this, but the Marvel Universe has gotten so complicated with so many different characters and so many different relationships. And oh, this happened back to that one and over here and over there and this other thing. It's like, yeah, so there you go. Dark Phoenix, right? I mean, individually, these stories can be really cool, but they make even more sense and they're deeper when you go through them at that level of fandom. So I get it, but I also know that for me personally, I don't have that kind of energy to devote to learning and understanding them. I did with Tolkien. Mm-hmm. Growing up, read every book, devoured every portion of the Silmarillion, found
you
everything I possibly could. You know, and he's bigger than I am, so let me give credit where credit's due.
That's right, because he was in The Hobbit.
Yeah. So maybe this is one of the reasons why I'm like, I can't actually go and spend the amount of time I need to understand Westeros other than to go, oh, Dubrovnik is a gorgeous city. And yes, they filmed, you know, some of the movies or the TV show there, which is really cool. I don't know that I have that kind of energy to devote to that sort of a thing. And so yeah. I'm with you. I understand. I want a new universe and new things to explore.
The other one's comfortable. You know, environment.
It's comfortable. I know where the rules are. I know the way that magic and technology and so on and so forth interact with one another. And I kind of like that, but I guess part of the magic is the new discovery of something new. So I need to leave myself open to the something new, even if the open to something new might be something like Firefly, which I still haven't even watched.
No,
I know. Well, look, I haven't. Right. Just haven't.
Sacrilege.
So a new decade about
a new decade. Plenty of time.
Lots of time to go check things out, see things, understand things, code things, bot things. Learn things. Looking forward to it. I'm hoping, Michael, for you, this next decade will be your best decade yet.
And you also.
And may the force be with you too.
Yes. Well, we look forward to 2020 with our listeners here at gamesatwork.biz. And we hope that you had a great holiday season and that you'll come back next year ready to learn about new games, learn about new technology, business models, AR, AI, bots, and such.
And we'll see you in the new year. So long, everybody, and have a great one.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.